and kiss, steal and wheel and deal and son of a gun. Woo! Let me hear one, Scouse. Give me one.
Woo!
Kyle?
Woo!
Ric Flair, the WWE Hall of Famer, is coming to Milwaukee this month, March 27th, right up the street from where we are right now in downtown Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. Thanasis Adetokounmpo, who was at Elimination Chamber last night, hosts Thanalysis Live with the WWE Hall of Famer and the global icon. Not a cameo, not a five-minute interview. This is a full-blown production, high energy, unfiltered storytelling, and behind-the-scenes moments you've never heard. This is the third Thanalysis Live in Milwaukee, fourth overall. If you haven't been, you gotta come out. It is unbelievable what TA has in his pocket. Surprises, energies, laughs, all the in-betweens. Tickets are limited. Do not wait. Get them right now. TALiveShow.com. That's TA for Thanasis Adetokounmpo. LiveShow.com. Thanalysis Live, March 27th at the Riverside Theater, presented by Gruber Law Offices and Potawatomi Casino Hotel. TALiveShow.com.
A lot of tricks up the sleeve for that live show. I'm very excited to see it coming together at the Riverside, which is a great venue. Again, TALiveShow.com. You can buy your tickets as well through the Riverside website. If you have ever purchased through the Pabst Theater Group before, you know how to get there. So TALiveShow.com.
Your boy Ben was offering
I wish I could spill a little bit more, but...
No, I can't wait. I can't wait till everybody gets to know some of the tricks up the sleeve. Well, I'm telling you this right now. If these tricks come through, boy...
Have a good night. Oh, yeah.
You're going to regret not being there. You know, Ben has offered for KBN Nation fans to potentially go to the after party, something like that. I didn't even know we were having that.
Yeah, Leroy called in. You know Leroy.
Is he allowed to? Is Ben just going off script on that one?
He's gone off script all week. What are you talking about?
He said,
he's inviting people to after parties. He's inviting people to my wedding.
He said, I can't get you tickets, but I could probably get you to the after party.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think he can. I don't think he
can. Is there even an after party?
There's always an after party.
Oh, wow. After the party, there's the hotel lobby. And the
after party's going to be hosted at Potawatomi Hotel Casino.
Oh, yes. Wow. I did not know that.
They're at the 1833 room where we've done it
in the past. I didn't know if that was confirmed or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After party's going to be.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exclusive. So you just can't walk in.
No, there's a list.
No, there's a list.
The list.
I got to make sure I'm on that list. I'm excited for this. You came last year. I did after going to another event.
We were talking in the break about tuxedos.
Yeah, you were wearing
a tuxedo.
That's actually the tuxedo my groomsman will be wearing. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So that'll be a good one to get TALiveShow.com. We were talking a little bit about these Packers greats here on Sunday Karma. Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace with Jason Wilde. Big thanks to him for joining us. John in Milwaukee chimes in, right? And in case you don't know what we're talking about, NFLPA has the report cards where the players are allowed to grade the teams on a number of different issues, or a number of different categories, I should say, from treatment of the families to the training staff to the individual coaches to the travel to the general manager, all that stuff. Packers overall ranked 21st in the NFL for their overall grades. Mm-hmm. They were A when it came to locker room, A- in weight room, A- in defensive coordinator who's no longer there, B+ in special teams coordinator who's no longer there. They were a C for training room and training staff, C+ for home game field, C+ for treatment of families, C for offensive coordinator who is still there, B- for head coach. Just to give you a little context there. So I think, you know, if you haven't dug into this, a lot of fans, I think, were a little surprised and disappointed because, well, Packers fans like it's the Green Bay Packers. And John in Milwaukee similarly has that. He says, I know we're making a big deal about the grades for the Packers, but how do the Packers compare to other teams? Because I've heard scores for the Steelers where they scored F in many cases. And I'm wondering how the Packers did against other NFL teams. And does it still show that they're superior, even though they have flaws in some areas? And I thought that was such an interesting way to position it because they're 21st when they are judged by their own individual players. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are ranked 32nd overall. So they were positioned last. So if you want to compare how players feel about playing for the Steelers versus the Packers, they are superior. But the Packers are below average when it comes to how their players feel about playing with that organization. It doesn't mean that they're a below average franchise, but it does very much mean that the Packers players feel worse about playing for their franchise than the majority, than 20 other teams worth of rosters feel about playing for their organization. Mm-hmm. They are almost in the bottom third, if we're to do the math on that, Strofe, of the organizations in the league. So the idea that there's this air of superiority around the Green Bay Packers somewhat striking to me, given that this is a team that has appeared in two Super Bowls in this century in the last 26 years, which is average to below average compared to other NFL franchises. So if you want to judge...
It's actually only appeared in one since 2000.
Wow, they've only appeared in... No, they've...
No, they've appeared in one. It was a 96, 97, 97, 98.
They've appeared in one, which I think would put them squarely in the below average NFL franchise.
No, I don't think he realized. Time flies, Strofe. It's crazy. Yeah, Greg, that's why I'm so mad.
I think you, so really, I think, what has it been? 50 years? 40 years they've appeared in two Super Bowls?
Well, no, in the last 30, they've appeared in three. They won one, they lost one.
That's true.
And then they won the one in 2010.
My math is a little off right now.
We kind of went heavy there back-to-back years, and then...
This century, they've appeared in one Super Bowl.
That's correct.
In the last 26 years.
Yep.
So the idea of, like, this superiority, do we think that there's a level of delusion where fans aren't willing to hold the team and the franchise accountable in ways that they're willing to hold other teams and franchises accountable?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? This idea of, like, does it still show that they're superior?
Because there is a level of consistency that's unmatched across the league. Now, it lacks
matched.
Super Bowls.
It is matched.
It lacks Super Bowls, but no, not really. I mean, New England, Baltimore, that's about it. In terms of teams that consistently are atop their division and consistently in the playoffs and consistently in the mix. Now, the Packers, to your point, have not been able to close the deal. They haven't been able to get over the hump. They've been to one Super Bowl, but they're constantly in the playoffs. They're often in the NFC Championship game. They just haven't been able to get over that hump for one reason or another. Now, when it comes to, I like the conversation. I don't know that the report card is the perfect way to get there, because I think you would agree with me when we say most of this report card stuff. Now, some of the criticism is fair, but most of it's a crock of crap. I mean, the Miami Dolphins were number one, and they cleaned house this offseason, right? So it's fine, right? The child care thing, sure, that's a fair knock. The weight room thing, that's a fair knock, but that's being addressed this offseason. But when it comes to this this superiority complex that you're referring to, I think it's a level of consistency that's both impressive but also frustrating for fans, because it seems like the Packers oftentimes are okay with being good but don't really want to take that swing to get to great or a Super Bowl championship level. Now, the Micah Parsons trade is one move that they showed that urgency. They showed, hey, the status quo isn't good enough. We've got to go get a complete game changer on our defense. But they need more of that. There's not enough superstars. How can Goody this offseason, and we referenced it with Jason, Brad Nortman saying it, it's the biggest offseason of Goody's career. How can he take a swing or two or three this offseason that makes them go from status quo, they're good enough, they're a seven seed, they're a playoff team consistently, to... hey, they should be viewed as the cream of the crop in the NFC. They should be viewed as the Super Bowl favorite. That's the superiority complex where it needs to take that next step.
800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. You can call or text in. Yeah, I think that, right, there's wins. There's regular season wins there. And you could look at it and say, yeah, they've been able to win. They've gotten two things, or really – yeah, I mean, over the last 25 years, two things really right that has driven that, right?
Quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
That's it.
Because they went from Brett Favre, figured out the next guy. They went from Rodgers, figured out the next guy.
Yep.
But when you've been given that level of quarterback play, and you've gotten to one Super Bowl, and you haven't won that many division titles, really, you haven't won that many playoff games, it starts to become... somewhat of a question mark as to, like, where is that level of complacency?
Yeah.
And do you put the Packers, like, outside of Wisconsin, is the perception that they are one of the elite franchises in the NFL?
I think so.
I think so.
I do think they look at the Packers as being consistent. And elite, it varies. But you got to understand, Greg, you and I mean, your team won a lot of championships, right? I mean, your father didn't see all them titles. You, on the other hand, has. But you have to understand, you have the Carolina Panthers, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have,
but we're not talking about the bottom.
No. But what I'm saying is that when you have most teams in the NFL that don't go to Super Bowls, don't consistently win, when they see the Packers, they say, okay, that's an elite team because they're always in prime time. They're always in the playoffs. So you look at that as an elite franchise, despite the fact we have not won titles and championships, which are extremely hard to come by. For the bottom 15 teams, they look at the Packers and they aspire to be us, right? But us, when you're in it all the time, you want to win. And I'm not a general manager, clearly, but I don't think breaking through is that hard. And when I say that is because when I look at what Seattle was able to do, they were able to rebuild themselves. New England was able to rebuild themselves. The Los Angeles Rams went all in and were able to rebuild themselves. And so, yes, there's going to be some down years, but if you trust the foundation and you trust your evaluators, there are times where you can go all in to put your team over the hump. The Packers refused to do that with Aaron Rodgers. And the thing is they went to an NFC championship game with Jordan Love on the roster, did they not?
Yeah, on the roster.
But that's what I'm saying. You had the future there. So if you go all in different places and spend all this money, guess what? You still have your quarterback of the future so you can move forward. So maybe his year one, you don't win as many games, you don't make the playoffs, but over time, you'll probably build up because you have the most important position set in stone.
I guess what I'd be curious about from your perspective, Greg, is you say nationally, do you think the Packers are viewed as an elite franchise, right? And there's certainly a debate to be had there. But I guess from your perspective, do you view the San Francisco 49ers as an elite franchise?
Not necessarily in the last we're going this century,
yes,
right?
Since 2000.
Largely because the Niners over the course of the last 40 years, certainly.
Yes. But since 2000 specifically.
Since 2000,
so it's really the Alex Smith, the Colin Kaepernick era. And then
I wouldn't say like elite, you're really talking about top five. Right?
They've been in multiple Super Bowls. They haven't won one.
They have. I think they have an elite head coach. I think they're very well run. I think they're a better coached and a better run franchise at this point with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan than the Packers are.
Sure.
Now, they haven't ever hit on the quarterback the way that the Packers have.
Right.
And so it's kind of a chicken or the egg. But when you look at some of the other organizations around the league,
but I think
you certainly put the Patriots ahead.
Of course.
You certainly put the Eagles ahead.
Yep.
You certainly put the Chiefs ahead.
Yep.
You certainly put the Seahawks ahead.
Yep.
There's a real argument to be had about the Steelers. There's a real argument to be had about, what do you mean, Same amount of playoff wins. Steelers have more division championships. They have the same amount of Super Bowl wins, right? With that one with Ben Roethlisberger.
They had a coach that never finished under 500.
They were, I mean, I think that's probably the best comparison.
I said comparable.
Comparison.
I didn't say.
I think either them or San Francisco is the best comparison.
I think them, San Francisco. I think Baltimore is another one that's appeared in,
two Super Bowls
and won one with Joe Flacco.
They won both.
I think you could look at.
One with Dilfer, too. That was 2000.
That is true. Yes, they did win. I forgot. I wasn't even counting that.
2001, maybe?
I wasn't even counting that. If you look at the Colts, I think that's an interesting argument over the last 20 years. They had Peyton Manning. They had Andrew Luck.
And now they have a future backup quarterback. Anthony Richardson, going to be a Packer.
They've got the Los Angeles Rams. I think you could throw into that mix simply for what they've done over the last 10 or 15 years.
The Eagles definitely are ahead of us.
Rams have won a Super Bowl. They've appeared in another Super Bowl. In the Sean McVay era,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
So, like, you've got these other teams that you could point to where you're like, yeah, sure, the Packers are top 10.
Yeah.
But it's a hard argument to just solidify them in a top five.
But top 10 is just the top third of the league. So
correct.
Your point on the superiority complex is fair, right? I mean, obviously we have the dub of Title Town, but they've been lacking titles, especially this century. Been to one. They've won one, but they've only been to one. And that's problematic. And this window is only going to be open for how many more years? Three? Maybe?
I think three could be generous. I think you got to look at these next two seasons and say, no, with this roster, right? And you might even say that they need to wait a year. But like when you've got Micah Parsons in his prime, in a position where ultimately that might end up, his athleticism could wash out at some point, as we've seen all the great pass rushers do. You might have to split this up into two different Jordan Love eras because I do think Jordan Love is good enough where he's going to play at a high level till he's 37.
Right.
But the rest of your roster isn't going to have that level of continuity. Are you going to have continuity with the coach? Which is why this offseason is such a fascinating one. We'll keep talking Packers. We'll keep talking Alex Stroph as well. And we'll be back here on Sunday Karma.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPN Wisconsin app. Alex Strofe, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace with you. No Craig Carbison today. You can get into the conversation. Call and text at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. Again, 800-990-3776. Kevin chimes in, says if NFL had complete parity, every team should win the Super Bowl every 32 years. Kevin from Washington. It's true.
He's right.
So, like, the Packers have won one in the last 30 years. So they're kind of on track in a world of pure parity. It's not where you want to be if you are going to fancy yourself as a elite organization. And I think that's what the Packers want. That's what I think Packers fans want. Yeah. And quite frankly, that's what I think they're capable of. And, like, you've got this quarterback who I think can be a top five quarterback in the league. I don't think he's done enough to have himself cemented in that way quite yet. I think he's talented enough to. You've got a young core of players. You've got an elite defender in Micah Parsons. You've got different guys all along this roster that you could see making up the core of a Super Bowl team. And now so much is dependent on Brian Gutekunst filling in the gaps, right? Him solidifying that offensive line, him hitting on some of these round 2 through 7 draft picks that are going to happen this year because you don't have a first round pick, him navigating the free agent market in terms of who they let go and who they bring in. And I guess I want to hear from you guys, like, where is the confidence level in terms of Goody being able to retool this team and this roster quickly? Because when you look at the money, and that's something that I'm bringing up because of how Jason Wilde talked about that being the focus of this offseason. Rashawn Gary, right, makes a ton of money. Seemingly, he's going to be gone. But you've got, like, two of your top 10 guys when you're looking at where your cap is going. And in football, it's not baseball. You can't blow as much money as you want. It's not basketball where as long as you can, you know, afford the first apron or the second apron, you can kind of get away with some bad signings. There is a cap here. Two of your top 10 guys were just signed last year in the offseason as guys that were supposed to be real difference makers because they're, you know, combined making up over 12% of your entire cap.
Right.
And that's Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks.
Yeah, last year was a total miss. And obviously he made up for it a little bit by taking the swing he did at the end of August when he traded for Micah Parsons. And that's a complete difference maker. But your hope is that he can duplicate what he did two off seasons ago, signing Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, two true star players for this franchise. He was unable to do that last year. This offseason, they're going to find a way to spend money. They're going to find a way. And obviously releasing Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary will play a little bit of the role, get you back under the cap and allow you some flexibility to pursue somebody or multiple people in free agency. The thing that worries me the most, two things really that worry me the most. Number one is this team, frankly, lacks star power. Mm-hmm. It just does. And, you know, you feel good about a couple pieces. Obviously, Jordan Love, obviously, Micah Parsons, which you just alluded to. And you feel good enough about a couple other pieces. Tucker Kraft, right? If he can come back and be healthy, you think he can be, if not the best tight end in the league, one of the best tight ends in the league. You feel really good about Xavier McKinney at the back end of your defense. That's about it, though. And that's where things worry me. You need more stars if you were going to get to that championship level. The second piece is there are multiple position groups that need complete retooling. You mentioned Nate Hobbs and how much of a flop he was at cornerback. You really don't have a star in that room like you did a couple of years ago with Jaire Alexander when he was actually healthy. You don't have a top-end corner. Keyshawn Nixon isn't a number one corner. Carrington Valentine isn't a number one corner. Nate Hobbs is barely an NFL corner, at least what we saw last year.
See, that's what got you in trouble with Caleb Williams.
The interior defensive line scares me. Devontae Wyatt's a good piece, but that's about it in terms of the interior. And then offensive line, there's a bunch of reshuffling that needs to happen. Is Jordan Morgan your franchise left tackle? I think he can be. We will see if he is. And then the rest of the offensive line. So you got three position groups right there. Corner, interior D-line, offensive line, that you're kind of going, all right, we can juggle some pieces, but can we really get that to the next level and it be effective pieces of your team? So lack of star power, position groups that need retooling, and you don't have a first-round pick. That's what makes this offseason so darn crucial for Brian Gutekunst after receiving the contract extension he got this offseason. We'll see if he's able to hit, but he earned the contract extension because, as frankly, the Micah Parsons move and nailing the quarterback, you got your two most important pieces, you nailed that. That earns you a contract extension after making the playoffs, again, as the youngest team in the league. But this offseason is super crucial for him.
This offseason is super crucial for him, and I don't know if I would say you nailed the Micah Parsons trade. I think it was the right decision.
Sure.
But you went out and you gave up the most in order to get Micah Parsons, which they should have done.
You do that.
It should be celebrated.
Though, right? Yeah.
But what Goody has done has successfully transitioned away from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, and he deserves all the credit in the world for that. It doesn't earn him a lifetime contract.
At some point,
you have to decide if you think that that guy who made that decision in that moment is also the same guy that can win you a Super Bowl. Well, it's the same thing as a coach that can get you from being a bad team to a playoff team. Pick any sport. There's those guys in the NBA where you know they can get you to be an 8 or a 7 or an 8 seed, right? Mm-hmm. You know in football, you know, hey, this guy's going to win games. Mike Tomlin's a great example. Now, he won a Super Bowl, and I think he's better than people are giving him credit for at this point. But, like, there are coaches, you know, that can get you to be good, that are solid. Mike McCarthy's another example.
That's
guy who's won
a
Super Bowl. But, like, you don't know if they're at that elite level where they're going to push you to that place where, like, you can continue to elevate your team, remake your team. They're so confident in their evaluation. They're so confident in the position or the people they put in place. And you go across all the sports, right? You can identify those people. In football, John Schneider's probably one of those people for Seattle. In baseball, go back to the early 2000s with what Red Sox did with Theo Epstein's and bringing Bill James in. Go to what the Dodgers have done with bringing in their general manager from Tampa Bay and then being willing to resource it. You could go, and one of the things that I think doesn't get resourced enough are those front office positions. It doesn't count against your cap. Why aren't the Packers going out and signing the best possible talent at that executive and scouting level? Because right now, it's not showing up. And I think that's where you start to get yourself in trouble. Now, when you look at the roster makeup, I agree with you in terms of those positional groups that you need help with. I do think that there could be more stars out there, though. Like, I think that wide receiver group
Christian Watson's a good example.
Anybody who, like, I think everybody's been delusional. I think Packers fans at times can be dishonest with themselves about how good the players on the roster are. They have no elite talent right now in the wide receiver position, but I think you've got two guys that can pop. I think you got Christian Watson who could pop, and I think you got Matthew Golden that could pop.
I agree with you.
But they got to put those guys in a position to pop, and then you've got Jaden Reed who could be a really good slot guy. Like, you've got pieces there, but it also takes an offensive line to give Jordan Love time to be able to go deep on that. And I think that's an important piece of it as well. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. We will go to Alan in Milwaukee. Alan, welcome in to Sunday
Car. You got
to
do it right. Hey, Alan.
What's up, Strofe? Hey, how's it going, y'all? I think far too long, man. I think people have been giving Goody way too much credit for doing the Micah Parsons thing, because that's obvious. Like, if we need to upgrade the wide receiver room, like, yeah, obviously we could go out and sign Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, but, you know, if you listen to the Super Bowl, you know, Tom Brady was talking about how, you know, Seattle, they don't have one star. They just have four guys who know what they're doing. And their GM went out and found those four guys. But I don't have confidence in Goody to do that, because, you know, as a GM, okay, you get one shot at a draft pick, that didn't work out. Okay, try another draft pick, that didn't work out. But then after that, go sign a veteran that knows what the hell they're doing. Why keep wasting time with this draft pick after draft pick? Go get somebody that knows what the hell they're doing.
I would just real quick pause on that, and we'll let you finish the point. But, like, you actually look at what the Seahawks have in terms of how they've built their roster to win the Super Bowl. They went out and they got out of the Russell Wilson thing a year early, brilliantly, acquired a whole lot of picks, and John Schneider went and hit pick after pick.
They've nailed
after
it in the
pick
draft.
After pick, and they do have a star on offense. His name is JSN, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba. You've got a quarterback that you went out and signed because You had the rest of your roster built. You built your interior offensive line to be maybe the best in the NFL. And they built that defense piece by piece because they had great evaluation. And they ended up nailing pick after pick after pick with the extra picks that they got through trading their quarterback. Now, the Packers got good equity back when they got rid of Rodgers. They just squandered it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, too, like, when we needed a center back when I think it was Campen who retired, you know, like Bill Belichick, we did bring in Jeff Saturday for a year or two. You know, older guy.
Oh, Scott Wells. You're thinking of Scott Wells, who retired.
Yeah, Scott Wells. You know, he wasn't at his prime, but his brain still was. He's still one of the smartest centers in the league who kind of helped that offensive line for a year or two until we found another center that could plug in. You know, and like, you know, Belichick used to do, he used to find these veterans, you know, that had 3 years left in the league, and he would use them for 2 years and get rid of them. You know, we don't even do that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You have to compliment your team, and thank you for the call, Alan. You got to compliment your team building with draft and develop, and you do have to fill spots with certain veterans, and I think that's something that's been missing. That's also, though, what you do when you identify where your windows are. And I do think it's important to say, okay, now it's time for us to be able to bring in this player here.
But Goody doesn't believe in windows. Keep that in mind. He doesn't believe in windows.
Great. And you can continue to win 8 to 10 games every year and not be in a position where you're a championship-level team.
Look, it's the same guy that a year ago preached urgency, right? Everybody's got to show urgency. And he did that to a point with the trade for Micah Parsons. But now, this offseason, you have to right your wrongs. And Kyle, I know you've talked about this a ton on KBN. Last offseason, Micah Parsons aside was a failure. It was. Your draft class ranked 32nd in terms of production. According to NFL.com, your free agent class stunk up the joint. Aaron Banks couldn't stay healthy at left guard. Nate Hobbs couldn't stay healthy and wasn't productive when he was healthy at cornerback. You need to right your wrongs. You need to have a big offseason. You need to make a couple splash moves. Even if they're under the radar names, they need to be instant contributors. And obviously you need some of the draft pieces to take that next step in 2026 if you really want to get to that championship potential that I think we all realize the Packers certainly have. They just haven't been able to realize it each of the last 2 years. So that is a big part of what makes this such an intriguing offseason for Brian Gutekunst. He's under the microscope for sure. This is an offseason where you need to go take those swings. And even if he wants to preach he doesn't believe in windows, we're all smart enough to realize the championship window, Pella window, is certainly open for the Green Bay Packers, but you got to capitalize this offseason.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776 on YouTube as well. Chime in, call in, text in. Carmel's talking text line. We will be back with you on Sunday, Karma. But first, let's hear from Craig Karmazin on Precision Sports.
Hey, it's Craig Karmazin. When I think about the most important moments of my life, being born, having a bar mitzvah, having a kid, none of them compare to getting my first basketball hoop. And I've done it multiple times with Precision Sports. That's right. They are the experts. They know ball. And they are the ones who can do it. So if you're going to make that life-changing, memorable decision, you're going to put up that hoop, you're going to put up that court, you're going to get the lines done, however you want to do it in the right way with the best. The way I did it, precisionsportsonline.com for a free quote. That's Precision Sports Online, and your jumper is going to be as good as mine in no time.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe, Greg Scalzo, with Kyle Wallace. You, 800-990-3776. Hitting us up at the Carbless Talking text line on YouTube as well. Of course, stream on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Shout out to Gruber Law Offices. They've been serving the people of Wisconsin for more than 35 years. They are Wisconsin's premier injury firm. You know them. You love them. They support everything here in Wisconsin, in the entire state. Whether it's the home teams, whether it's the festivals that you love, you see Gruber there supporting everything local because they are local. They live here in the community. You go to the games, you see the Gruber family. You go to the events, you see the Gruber family. And when something goes wrong for you, you get into an accident, you have something you never expected in your life and need somebody to help, you want to count on your neighbors. You want to count on somebody who you can trust in the community. And that is the Gruber family and Gruber Law Offices. They are a family firm. They're a winning team. They're all Wisconsin's own. They are Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Speaking of seeing the Grubers, probably see them at the Bucks game today. Bucks take on, or no, actually, it's in Chicago. I'm wrong.
Might still go.
United Center. Bucks taking on the Bulls today, and a pretty eventful week for the Milwaukee Bucks. They got the Bulls in Chicago today. They're at home against the Celtics tomorrow on a back-to-back. Then they, on Wednesday, go ahead and take on the Atlanta Hawks. So this is a team that's won 8 of their last 11. I think a lot of folks could wonder if they should be winning right now or should be playing the lottery balls, but I love seeing this team. I love seeing this team win.
I'm kind of enjoying it,
it's
too.
It's fun, but it's dangerous.
It is. It is. Look, I don't know what they're doing, to be real honest with you, because if I'm in John Horst's position, for example, I don't know what I'd do either, because you're trying to appeal to Giannis, right? That's ultimately the end game of all of this, is I want to make Giannis sign the Supermax in October. That's what you want, right? That is the end game of everything you're doing, every move you're making, every free agent you're signing. What appeals the most to Giannis Antetokounmpo and what makes him stay in Milwaukee for the long run? I think winning without him is good, right? Seeing Cam Thomas come off the street and do what he's been able to do. Seeing Jericho Sims evolve and become a big-time player for them. You've got one of the most successful 1-2 punches in the backcourt in the NBA this season. In Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. They're one of the best duos. And
A.J. Green doing his thing.
I'm sorry, you just said what?
They've been one of the most dynamic and successful in terms of statistically backcourts in the NBA 1-2 punches. Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter
Jr. Over the last month or so, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even longer than that, but yeah. If Giannis is looking at this and saying, okay, maybe we can win. Maybe we can succeed with the group. Maybe John Horst is doing the right thing. Maybe you can win him back over. And that was the importance to me of getting past the trade deadline with Giannis still on the roster is, all right, you bought yourself time. Time is an asset in this scenario. What can you do to appeal to Giannis? Winning cures everything. We hear that all the time in sports. And they've been doing a lot of that without Giannis. Maybe it helps. But to your point on the lottery balls, John Horst has never had a lottery pick. As the general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks, never had a lottery pick.
And it's a loaded draft. And it's a loaded draft. So we'll see, again, at Chicago today. That's a 2:30 tip.
Chicago stinks. They've lost 11 in a row. They've lost 14 of their last 15.
Because they know what they're trying to do.
Exactly. They've picked a lane.
There's a lot of teams that are tanking
right
now.
They've picked a lane. The Milwaukee Bucks have not. And that's I don't know if that's a bad thing when it comes to Giannis.
We'll come back, do some Palermo's picks, all about Alex Stroff's workout this afternoon with Kyle Wallace. That's next, Sunday Karma.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma back with you across ESPN Wisconsin. Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroff, myself, Greg Scalzo. You calling, texting on the Carbless Talk text line 800-990-3776. Liss is more with Carbless. Liss is more maybe for Alex Stroff, because maybe you're going to try to lift a little bit less today.
Yeah.
But maybe you're going to try to do a little bit more.
Right.
For those who are wondering why we're talking about it, there's about 10 million views on Twitter.
10 million?
Across the combine videos for Stroff today, largely centered around his inability to lift weights above 75 pounds when it comes to the bench press.
Are you embarrassed for me?
Am I embarrassed for you?
Yeah. Are you ashamed of me? I guess would probably be the
better question. No, I'm not ashamed of you. I love the fact that you're willing to put yourself out there like that. And I think that it, if you're going to treat it like a wake-up call, it could be a really healthy thing. You know how I think about this stuff. I believe in healthy bullying. I believe in productive bullying.
You do.
If you're a better person today,
which
than
is what
you
makes
were
you a great boss, might I add.
If you're a better person today than you were on Wednesday, then like that's a good thing, even if you had a little bit of embarrassment.
Are you familiar with my mottos? Ben Brust often makes fun of me. So does Kyle. I have a lot of mottos I live by. You know one of them for sure.
Self-awareness is the most important quality.
Bingo. Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
He lacks that.
The world needs more love. That's one of mine. How do you feel about that one?
The world needs more love. Yeah, I guess I could go with it. I think it's like too much what you'd put on a postcard and doesn't really mean
anything.
Well,
that's me though.
Yeah, but like there's no substance to it.
I lack substance sometimes. My other one is, this is the one they've been making fun of me for the most recently. Kyle, do you know the acronym?
Get better.
That's not an acronym. The acronym.
G-B-E-D.
G-B-E-D. Mm-hmm. Get better every day.
Did you get better yesterday?
No, you got worse.
I probably not.
Yeah. Probably self-awareness.
Not. Probably not.
Those two things are going to work against each other for you sometimes, aren't they?
They often do.
Yeah.
You often make fun of me. You say I lack self-awareness.
I think oftentimes you do. Yeah.
So
but as long as you get better every day at it, Strofe, that's all that matters.
So once again, I ask, are you ashamed of me?
No, I'm not ashamed
because
of you.
Because of my lack of self-awareness occasionally.
Now, I would say I was disappointed that you didn't work out with Will yesterday. I literally threw my hands up and said, this kid is ridiculous.
I don't need to be ashamed of you in any way. Like, I'm proud of you in so many ways.
But
I'm still going to tell you exactly what I think about you.
I care about your opinion more than most people on the planet.
Wow, that's pretty honorable.
He tells that to a lot of people.
Kyle, do you think I care more about Scalz's opinion or yours?
I mean, I'm not your boss. If I was your boss,
I actually don't even think it's a boss dynamic.
100%.
I really don't. I've respected Greg since the moment I met him.
Yeah, I think Strofe's only going to keep getting better, Kyle. That's it. Let's hope. Okay. I hope you guys go to the gym together today, Strofe. Kyle, if you do, how many reps is Strofe going to get up? On the bench.
Oh, he's not doing the bench.
I'm not going to say chest.
On chest, he won't get through three sets of 15, 100%.
All right.
He'll stop.
No, I won't.
My arms here.
My arms do hurt, but I'm pushing through the pain. Get better every day.
Well, he's trending on Twitter right now. Alex Strofe is. ESPN host bench press fail fuels sports credibility debate. It's the title of the streaming of the Twitter trending piece right now. So sports credibility debate. That's what you spurred. Big shout out to Palermo's Pizza. Looking for a pizza that rises to the occasion? Try Palermo's Rising Crust, now on sale for just $4.99 at Festival Foods. That's through March 3rd. Thick, fluffy crust with a soft inside and crispy edge. Big, crowd-pleasing flavor at a family-friendly price. Find Palermo's Rising Crust in the frozen aisle at Festival Food while this deal lasts. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.